Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Las Vegas Metro Chamber. On the broadcast today, education, the biggest topic at the legislature, and one of the biggest topics in Clark County. On the broadcast today, Amelia Pack Harvey. She's the education reporter for the Las Vegas Review Journal. For the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmaker.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're coming to you from the Las Vegas Metro Chamber, and we're delighted to welcome back to the program Amelia Pack Harvey. She's the education reporter for the Las Vegas Review Journal. Who knew that your job was going to be the biggest beat at the paper here over the last year? It's been just incredible.
Yeah.
Let's start out with your thoughts on the legislative session and what came out of it.
Yeah, so there were a lot of good points, good things achieved this session, I think, in terms of education funding. We have the first steps to a new funding formula, which I know Senator Dennis and Woodhouse have been working on pretty extensively. But that's kind of the shell for how to move forward in the future. It doesn't have the gas to kind of get the car going. It's just the outline of the car. And then we also have more funding in terms of the marijuana 10% retail tax, boosting the DSA per pupil amounts, which was something that everyone had been calling for a while. There was also a few more, you know, safety funding initiatives added into various bills and whatnot. So I think it depends on who you ask, but there's obviously some steps for education this session and then some steps, you know, that left more to be desired. Particularly the education funding advocates are upset with the funding formula, the way that turned out, not ultimately giving them any more money and not kind of go ahead and plunging into this concept of adequacy. Rather, it kind of sets us on the trail to determine what that is and what that looks like. But I think they probably wanted to see more action. But if you look at, if you ask other folks, there's some good things to be highlighted too in terms of funding.
And Senator Dennis has been working for a long time, mm-hmm. You know, to put this framework together. Tick Seggenblum was on the program a couple of days ago, and he was talking about how this was an incredible session for liberals, that this was the session that they had dreamed about, the things that they had been working on for years finally came through. One of the concerns, of course, is that part of this funding is going to need the Clark County commissioners to vote for a tax, an increase in the sales tax. Clark County already has one of the highest sales taxes. Mm-hmm. What are you hearing in terms of I know that, you know, from the paper that not all commissioners are as on board as Tig mm-hmm. Segerblum is. What are you hearing?
Certainly our reporter who covers the county commission, he's kind of fielded their thoughts as a whole. I know the district has been in talks with some commissioners to kind of get that ball rolling. But I think another important thing to note is, yes, you know, that would generate more funding if we were to increase the sales tax. The Gwynn Center actually came out with an analysis that showed that Nevada is actually already pretty heavily reliant on the sales tax as it is. So their report kind of analyzed how we're already overburdening, I guess, that source of income for the state. So that's just something to think about. And I think what I would caution folks is if we do have an increase in the sales tax, that's estimated to generate, I think, about $108 million per year, which is really, it's not a drop in the bucket, it's probably a slice of the bucket of CCSD's, you know, $2.5 roughly billion-dollar budget. So again, that's not enough to, just like the marijuana money, that's not enough to, you know, calm all fears. Basically, it still wouldn't solve everybody's problems.
Right, and just to emphasize, you said $2.5 billion budget.
Roughly, yeah.
I mean, you know, in the time that I've been covering the legislature, it's gone from $1 billion budget to a $2.5 billion budget.
Wow.
Education advocates, including Ruben Murillo of the NSCA, was advocating for a $1 billion increase in the budget. Do you think that there is any taste for that from what you've seen?
I really don't think so. And I think there's something to be said about, I know there's a lot of frustration from funding advocates that we didn't go ahead and take that step. Obviously, $1 billion is a ton to ask for. And that's over $1 billion, you know, every year in order to just adequately fund education. So we are light years off. But this was a first incremental step, you know, with the funding formula. I know folks were concerned, though, about starting to, you know, address that. I just don't know if it's the legislators that are not keen on going down that road or asking for more taxes or new revenue. It's just, it's a lot to ask for. I don't know if we'll ever get around to asking for it. So that's a question to be left, but I don't see any appetite for doing that anytime soon.
And the Republicans always will come back and say, well, you know, you're looking for this increase, but mm-hmm. what's the increase in the education standards that would go along with a budget increase like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a good point. I think there's still a lot of mistrust between the district and legislators, whether you're Democrat or Republican. I mean, CCSD is a huge bureaucratic agency, so obviously you're going to have concerns. But I think what I try and tell folks is when you're already underfunding education so much, what else would you expect, I guess? That's not to make an excuse for it or for poor performance or whatnot, but it's hard, even for me objectively as a reporter, to measure our progress and whatnot when you have other states that are giving appropriate weighted funding to certain categories of students. Etc. For instance, today I was at Rancho High School and they were able to absorb the loss of their dean cuts through weighted funding. And that's because we expanded weighted funding this session to 1 to 4 star schools. So just because you are performing well, you won't get that ripped away from you, which is a really important concept. And Rancho, which was suffering from losing that because they were doing so well last year, will now get that. And as a result, the deans aren't an issue. Losing the deans aren't an issue. So it's that kind of thinking to start getting people on board with, hey, if we have this appropriate amount, then maybe we won't see these losses. But that takes a whole philosophy change and looking at things differently.
And it is a big ship. It is not something that turns around on a dime.
Right.
So going back to the election cycle, Chris Giunchiglione running against now Governor Sisolak, the unions, you know, were split up on, you know, who they were going to support. Do you think that paid off in a bad way for the unions during the session?
I'm not quite sure. I haven't been in too much talk with the unions and their political choices. I know I get the feeling that CCEA is one to more walk the down the aisle and hear from both sides, and they're willing to do that in order to get what they need to done. And so I think for that reason there was more an inclination toward Governor Sisolak. But I guess it depends. I mean, I think ultimately whoever was elected, whatever the outcome, one union would probably have been upset more than the other. So it's hard to close that rift between the two.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Much more to talk about with education after this timeout.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Amelia Pack Harvey. She is the education reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. So, all of a sudden, top of the headlines is that we've got all these principals who are very angry at the superintendent for firing 170 deans. But in his explanations, he addressed all the various concerns that he had and the ways to deal with them, and that firing these deans, you know, was the way to go. Would you, for our audience who may not understand how the system works, explain the role of these deans at the schools and what he was protecting?
Yeah, so deans, they're most often associated with discipline, handling fights, kids that are sent to the front office for, you know, a variety of behaviors. But depending on what school, you know, schools, principals might choose to delineate responsibilities amongst their administrative team. So a dean might be responsible for filtering through Safe Voice, anonymous tips regarding possible violence, investigating claims of bullying. Those two things also require you to have a quick response per Nevada state law. So those are really important administrative tasks that need to be dealt with immediately. They might also, beyond just suspending or expelling kids, I hear a lot about this, that they help contribute to this, you know, kind of punitive form of punishment. But I did talk to some deans who told me, you know, we connect with the kids when no one else is really around. And I even talked to a former student who was frequently in the front office, and he said, I really felt like those deans were the ones that knew me when I saw them in the hallway, and they knew why I was always in their office, and they knew my underlying issues. So more than just writing on a piece of paper, you're expelled, you're suspended, they're also, they might be the ones that are the most connecting with kids on campus that have problems.
Let me ask you this, you know, there's always a hiring shortage for mm-hmm. teachers within the school district. I mean, I think the last year or two, it's been around 600 teachers per year. Is there a way for any of these deans to be absorbed back into the system?
Oh, sure, yeah. They can be placed in vacant positions if they want them. The other thing, too, is a lot of schools were given money for a dean, but instead transformed that into an AP position by giving their dean a little bit higher of money that comes with the bump in pay in APs. So some schools are, as a result, might be losing their assistant principal positions because the funding for that is still the dean funding, and that's being removed. So as a result, those assistant principals might go through the reduction in force process where they bump less senior administrative folks from their positions as well. But the deans, that's an entry-level administrative position, so certainly they can be put back in the classroom if they wish.
But, you know, the bottom line on this was to provide money that the governor promised in raises mm-hmm. for the teachers. So you have a real conundrum here of where you don't have what the school district at least considers adequate funding,
right.
and there's got to be a way to solve that.
Right, and I think the key core of the problem is promising to do these things, and I think I wrote in one piece, promising the world without having the means to achieve it. And when you promise raises and all these other things, but you've also promised not to raise new taxes, where are you going to get that money? Someone's going to come up short. Either it's the state budget that's going to come up short, they're going to have to cut from elsewhere, or it's the district. And so in this case, it's the district having to come up short for that.
So now we're faced with a threat of a strike mm-hmm. from the union. So how real do you think that is?
I mean, it's definitely still on the table. The union has said that they're still waiting to see all the budget cuts to make sure there's no impact to the classroom. They actually supported the elimination of the dean positions. And this is also action that's further divided the two, you know, rival unions, NSEA and CCEA. They have supported that move and have continued to call for, you know, no impact to classrooms. In reality, though, some schools might actually be increasing class sizes because they're choosing to use vacant teacher positions to pay for those deans. So some schools actually might see class sizes increase. And if you ask certain teachers, they also, you know, certainly at the school board last week, they also claim that this is going to have an impact on them. How are they going to keep an eye on rowdy kids in the class, or how are they going to tell their kids that they can feel safe at school, all of that stuff. So it's still a very real possibility, and they haven't really taken it off the table yet.
And you know, I mean, obviously school security is a big deal mm-hmm. In every neighborhood in the country. What are your concerns, or what do you see as the concerns for security at the schools in the Clark County School District?
I think there's definitely a violence problem in terms of kids bringing guns to school on campus. That's been increased. So the question is, where are they getting those guns? Why are they bringing them to school? Is it gang related? Are they just scared? Are they being bullied? Those are the underlying questions that I have about the weapons. On a facility standpoint, if you go to a high school, there's, you know, 50 different points of entry. You can walk on in any, maybe walk on through the field, walk on through the back door, walk on through the side door. So I know some principals are concerned with sealing down those points of entry to make sure no one can just waltz onto campus. But also just the superintendent always says our kids are dealing with adult problems, and they really are. I mean, we're really dealing with a lot of kids with a lot of trauma, like scars, and I think digging beyond why they're fighting on campus, why it gets so bad that pepper spray has to be used, why they're bringing guns to school, why they feel the need to bring guns to school when they know it's not okay, where those guns are coming from, those are all really key questions, and why all of a sudden this uptick in these incidents.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
I really am not sure. You know, Metro is teaming with CCSD for their gang unit. They CCSD police offered one officer to kind of work in conjunction with them. The police are very always hesitant to say this is a gang, you know,
right.
activity. But I mean, I think the shootings that we're seeing, particularly with our juveniles, our paper has written about, particularly in certain parts of the valley, needs to probably be explored more, and I'm sure police are probably doing that. But there's stuff that's happening off campus that's being brought onto campus, and then the schools are having to deal with it. So it's really unfortunate.
All right, let's take another break and we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Amelia Pack Harvey. She's the education reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. One of the groups that seemed to get short shrift to the legislature this time around was charter schools. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, Democrats on both sides in control and in the governor's mansion. But what was the feedback you got from charter schools?
I think with the original bill to have a moratorium on charters, obviously received a lot of initial pushback. So instead, they tweaked it so that there's a plan in place for continued, you know, monitoring of growth, where they're opening, are they opening in areas of need, and I think along those lines, the Charter School Authority, which is the largest sponsor of charter schools in the state, recently got a new director, Rebecca Fiden. She was head of the Achievement School District, which is now eliminated. And the ASD has actually really been focused on operating in those high poverty, high needs areas. So I would assume that with this new director, they'll also, you know, take that into consideration. And the authority has kind of been really on the track to get a more diverse student population into its portfolio. And then, yeah, the Achievement School District was eliminated. The four ASD schools can now apply to be under the purview of the authority. And that kind of streamlines all of it. It's just, you're seeing a lot of the death or the slow down of a lot of Republican-led initiatives in terms of education that were adopted either in 15 or 17, and now with Democrats in control, kind of putting a stop to that or an ending to that.
Yeah, it seems like what you're saying is blowing up some of the arguments against charter schools, which is that they are looking to be more diverse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, you look at schools like Andre Agassi, mm-hmm. You know, it's an amazing school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're part of the ASD, and that ASD, again, their philosophy was to take over in areas that needed it most. So that's hopefully the new vision of the authority as well.
If you go back about 5 or 6 years, one of the biggest problems in the school district, as far as an outsider could see, was hunger. Was that kids literally did not have enough, in certain areas, mm-hmm. did not have enough food to eat, and were actually stealing ketchup packets to have mm-hmm. food on the weekends. Has that situation eased? Has that gotten better?
I can't say one or the other about it. There's still, the district is still, I think, over 60% free and reduced lunch eligible, so I'm sure there's kids that are still out there that need those services. Haven't heard anything in particular about kids going hungry, although I'm sure it happens, but there's a summer meal program that CCSD offers, so those kids can still get meals during the summer when school's out, because for some of these kids, that might be the only time they're eating or the only time they're getting a substantial meal during the day.
As you look at the education system in Clark County, are you optimistic at this point in time because of, you know, what happened to the session?
I would say cautiously optimistic. I have very high standards for myself and for what I cover. So I think we shouldn't pat ourselves on the back for everything that was accomplished this session, although it certainly happened as a result of a lot of hardworking people over decades. But I think rather than resting on our laurels, there needs to be conversation about adequate funding. How are we going to get that adequate funding? What new sources of revenue can we raise? Because to be honest, we can't come up with over $1 billion annually without either stealing it significantly from somewhere else or having some kind of new revenue. So there needs to be that conversation. I think I worry with the biennial way that the legislature is set up, that who's to say in 2 years that everything we accomplish this session will be undone, just like we saw the Republican initiatives undone this session. In the next biennium, are we going to see still no movement in terms of adequately funding education? And how long will it take to get that going?
And especially the second year of the biennium is a much bigger hole than there is in the first mm-hmm. year of the biennium.
Yeah.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much. We really appreciate
Thank
your
you.
Coverage. Anybody that isn't reading you should be.
It's
Amelia Pack Harvey in the Las Vegas Review Journal. Thanks again for coming in.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Kenny, Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Our thanks to the Las Vegas Metro Chamber for hosting us. And always, you can catch all of our shows at NevadaNewsmakers.com and on YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast.